Welcome to episode 7 of the Sports Bible. I am your co-host, Michael.
Your other co-host, Jackson. We had a packed weekend full of sports. We'll get started with last week's tryouts, soccer. Michael, take it away since I was not there for that one.
Yeah, so we had another tryout on Thursday. There was a lot less people there. I know it's midterm season, so a lot of people are studying. Wasn't able to make it. Our numbers dropped by about 15. It was still good. Still did the core things, you know, a lot of running, of course. I think the team is starting to take form, but tryouts will still continue. So there will be another one this Thursday. Hopefully we'll get more news after that one to see if things are being finalized or if we're going to continue having tryouts until the end of the month. But yes, we will have another one on Thursday at 8 p.m. And hopefully we'll get to see Jackson there.
I'll be there, don't worry. Season's over. Season is now over, so now it's in transition to soccer. So I'll be there Thursday.
Sounds good.
And big news for the sports in Laurier this week. Past the cross-country team just finished, came back yesterday from the Nationals in Calgary, Alberta. It was a great atmosphere there, great course. Course was kind of horrible. kind of felt like there was definitely courses throughout this year that definitely could have been a harder challenge than it was on the Nationals. It was a lot of flatlands, a couple of like two small hills. It was good though. I finished in my first ever Nationals in 49th out of 89th. So I'll take top 50 in all Canada. On the girls side, they placed sixth overall, led by the sensational Faith Neeson, finishing eighth. She qualified for that all-Canadian first team. There was no second team. Sources do say for myself that was potentially her last ever run for the purple and gold.
Whoa. Why?
She wants to focus on other sports. Her running A is not her first sport. It's her third.
Wow.
Ringette. She plays ringette for Laurier, the Waterloo campus. That is what she wants to focus on. So we'll see what happens next year. if this was her last race, then, you know, congratulations to her for an outstanding career at Laurier. Definitely surprising, not just the people, but more herself, and finishing off with an all-Canadian first team at Nationals in eighth place, and getting third at OCAAs, getting on that bronze, and then a third place for the team-wise, so two bronzes and an all-Canadian team. It's not too shabby to end your last season as a Brantford runner. But we'll see what happens next year. We'll see if she comes back. If she's not, then wish her the best of luck at ringette. For the other girls, outstanding placements from Kara Hughes, Kiara, Adna, Kennedy. Probably one of the best races I've seen all of them run together. Might not have been there, but they definitely just watch them and you can see the improvement from the first week to the last week. I thought they were going to get third. It was close. It was great. It was a great race to end the season. I know a lot of people will be leaving next year this is their last year. It's a rebuild, a certain rebuild. For the men's team, it's a rebuild. For the girls' team, it's a rebuild. But, you know, season's over. Definitely, I think there's not much to say on who's MVP for both sides. and who's rookies for the both sides. It's should be clear, hopefully, to the coaches and to the team. But it was a great season, and I'll be back. I'll be back next year. I'll be looking forward to it. But yeah, so that's the big news in Brantford. Soccer and cross country season is now over. So now it's you'll be hearing more of soccer than cross country. Last one of the year.
Yeah, huge shout out to the cross country program for helping, you know, put Brantford on the map. Laurier Brantford. A big shout out to Faith. She had an amazing season. Top 10 in Canada is nothing to, you know, look over. And if that's her last season, she left that on the ultimate high. So big congrats to her and the girls team for what they did. Shout out to the boys team as well. Shout out to you for making it that far. And it's good. I feel like, you know, the program is in good hands. So next year will be another strong showing.
That's the goal. Bringing more people and the coach get recruiting. But yeah, it sucks that it's over, but I'm ready to move on right into soccer and get that team going. You know, I saw Humber there. Humber did win.
They won nationals.
George Brown was there in the airport. You know, I had to give him a little stare down. You know, I had to let him know that we're coming. We're coming for this indoor season. It's us. It's, no one's taking that trophy. You know, they can celebrate it now, but we're coming. Laurier is going to be coming on the map. So, and then I think that pretty much covers Brantford Sports. As I said before, segment for the beginning is going to be a lot shorter now that we're just strictly on the soccer and the teams aren't made yet. And games won't be starting until January, so it's going to be quick in the beginning of each episode for Brantford Sports. But in January, you'll get more information on games and stats and goals and who's leading and all that stuff. So stay tuned for January. But we'll switch topics. We'll go on to like we usually do, nice little recap of basketball last week, NBA. Crazy again, the usual. It's fun to see. But I did see that Damian Lillard is complaining about the new rules, and I don't see it. You know, I think it's a lot better watching basketball with the new rules implemented with the leading into each other and getting to create that foul. But he's complaining about it. And it's – I don't see his reasons. Like, it's a lot better for basketball. You know, it's really testing who can score and who cannot score. Obviously, Harden's really starting to pick it up now a bit. Dame's struggling this year. Maybe it's the new rules, we don't know, but there's no need for complaints at all.
Yeah, I think it's part of his frustration of him playing kind of poorly this season, not getting, you know, the regular calls that he's used to getting. I think, yeah, it's been better for the game, just overall, the overall watch of the players, the talent level and everything like that. But I think Lillard just has to play better. He's averaging his lowest point total in his career so far. And I was expecting with a new coach like Chauncey Billups that if anything, it would increase or stay the same. I know Portland have been implementing more of a team-based, you know, approach rather than relying on Lillard and CJ McCollum. But averaging 18 points a game when he's used to, I believe, averaging 25 plus, it's kind of a big drop, especially on his level. But it's still early in the season, so I do understand that as well. But it shouldn't take too long for Lillard to turn up again. But I think part of his frustrations are coming with the rules changing and him not playing well. So it's just kind of building on his frustrations.
Yeah, I'm sure he'll get back in his game. Like, we saw Harden struggle in the season. Now he's adapted to the new rule change. And Dame's a great scorer in this league. He's one of the top, if not the best. So I'm sure we'll have no problem adapting to the new rule change. But it was just uncalled for the frustration. You know, if things don't go your way, you're gonna see complaints and stuff. But it's nothing he can do. You can't change the rules as a player. It's not up to his decision. So he's got to just suck it up and just play better. It's simple. Because if he plays better, then Portland plays better. It's
exactly.
It's proven. Portland can't do much without Lillard. So if he does go, it's going to be something, you know, I'd like to see how they would adapt to life without Lillard. But he wants to be Portland for the rest of his career. I respect his loyalty. But if he wants that chip, he's got to leave. But we'll see what happens in the future.
Yeah, I agree. And I actually had a question about this I wanted to ask you. Just the whole thing with Lillard about him winning and stuff like that. Do you think what matters more? Because you can see for Lillard, his character and his legacy matters in terms of, okay, I'm going to win it with one team and I'm going to make it work. But when it's clear to everyone else, or just clear, it's clear as day that he's not going to win in Portland with that current team. Does loyalty like kind of hinder your success? Because when we think of like the great ones and stuff like that, yes, he'll be remembered, but he'll be remembered as a loser. You know what I mean? And yeah. Like, is it worth it to be remembered as a loser just because you were loyal? Or is it better to move on and, you know, find that winning situation, kind of like a Kevin Durant, and, you know, solidify your legacy? What do you think?
That's tough, because I know if he doesn't leave, if he's traded to a team, mm-hmm. You know, it's not really his decision. It's the GM's decision. It's coaching staff's to find the right pieces. If he leaves in free agency, and then it's his decision to make. Like, if he gets traded, I don't see a lot of people being upset with that.
Yeah,
To the team. If he leaves, and you know how Durant left and he went to Golden State, you got the hate. Just how LeBron left Cleveland to go to Miami, you know, just jumping on that ring bus. If he does leave and goes to a stacked team and adds him with it, then I'm gonna see. There's gonna be a lot of hate coming with him. If he gets traded, I don't see as much hate. But he wants to be loyal, and I respect it. You know, his idol, he looked up to Kobe. He saw Kobe was loyal to the Lakers, and he won 2 championships on his own without Shaq. Dirk won one with himself in Dallas in 2011. Then LeBron went back to Cleveland, won it there with Cleveland. You see Curry could do it without KD. He didn't go on state. So I feel like Lillard wants to be in that conversation with Kobe and Dirk and them, how being so loyal, and they brought a chip, even Tim Duncan. So that, I think that's what he wants to do. Hindering, it's like, if he stays, I don't see him winning the chip with Portland. Unless he add someone, or they draft a stud in the late first round, mid first round. But they got to bring someone else in. And if it's trading CJ and getting pieces, then it's that. They don't really have any young core besides Simmons and Little.
Yeah.
They need more people. If he stays, he's not going to win. He's, you know, like, I see what he wants to be. You know, I can see why he wants to stay in Portland. But sometimes you just got to take the hate. And if you really want that chip, it's desperate measures come with, you know, desperate times come to desperate measures. And it's, if it's leaving and getting hate, then so be it. He's been hated on his whole career. He's been overlooked plenty of times. So he's got to take the hate and leave to get the chip, because he ain't doing it in Portland.
Yeah,
that kind of answers. That's my answer to that one.
Yeah, I think so. I think, like you said, trading CJ for assets, that's his best chance at getting, like, you know, some help. Because I don't think it's going to work between them. Not that they're the problem, it's just that's all they have. And it looks like they're going to have to get rid of one of them, you know, to balance out the rest of the team. So, you know, they have Norman Powell. Like, they have a couple. Like, they got Covington. I don't think Nurkic is that guy anymore. I think the injuries kind of caught up to him, so he's not really the same effectively. Even Collins as well. Collins has been injured for a while. So the team's not built to win. And like you said, I feel like they have to get lucky in the draft and, you know, develop them. But that's going to take too long. And Lillard doesn't really have that luxury of time on his side. So him leaving is probably the best decision for his career if he wants to win. Where he goes, obviously, is like up for debate, you know, fit, blah, blah, blah. It'd be nice to see him in Philly playing with Embiid. I feel like that'd be something crazy.
Yeah.
That'd be crazy. That'd be super crazy.
if he goes to Philly, I don't think he's going to get that much heat. Just because it's just Embiid in there right now. But if he went off and he went to, like, let's just say, paired alongside, went to Brooklyn. I don't know how he'd fit in Brooklyn with Kyrie and James.
Or even if he went to, like, the Clippers. What if he went to the Clippers?
Clippers, if Kawhi comes back, obviously he can't go to the Lakers anymore. We've got Russ.
Yeah.
But if he went to one of those, even Milwaukee, you know, you move Holiday shooting guard and have Middleton small forward and Giannis a power forward. Just him going to, like, one of those big teams. Hey, if he goes to Philly, I don't see him getting that much hate. You know, obviously, Philly's gonna love him. Obviously, because they're upset with Simmons, and I just feel like a lot of Lillard fans are just rooting for him to get that championship. You know, a lot of people want him to get the championship. And, you know, if he pairs up with Embiid, because the East is already good enough, you know, and you give him to Philly and him and Embiid, it's a new duo. It's not the big three anymore. It's not, you know, it's still a good team, but I wouldn't say it's a super, super team if you went to Philly and paired up with Embiid. I think super teams, you got to have solid players in each of the starting five. They need a top point guard, shooting guard, small forward, power forward, and center. Like, that's a super team. You know, when Durant went to Golden State and they brought in DeMarcus Cousins, like, that was a super team. They had a starting five who were all stars. Obviously, Cousins got injured, but that was still a super team. You had four of the five starters who were all stars. He goes to Philly. It's just him and Embiid. It's kind of a upgrade. It's a better version of CJ and Lillard. Now it's Embiid and Lillard. So Philly, I would like to see him in Philly. I wouldn't hate on him to win a Philly, because it's not only giving him a ring, but it's also giving the shot for Embiid to get a ring. And I think Embiid deserves one. So if he goes to Philly, I don't see a lot of people getting the hate.
Yeah, I agree. I think Philly would be a good fit, kind of like a best case scenario. And then, obviously, the assets they give up, maybe like a Ben, obviously it'd be a Ben Simmons, maybe like a Seth Curry, et cetera. But it'd be interesting for both sides, because it could potentially make Portland worse in the short term, but long term they're building something kind of special over there. So do I think it'll happen? No, but It's an interesting scenario to look at. But I do think Lillard, at the end of the day, Lillard should try and move on from Portland, because again, he'll be remembered, but, you know, you're just going to be remembered as a loser, I feel like. And it's, I know his legacy is bigger than that, but, you know, if you want to be one of the greats, like, winning is a part of it as well, right? So that's just an important thing to me.
Yeah, yeah. If he wants to build his legacy,
yeah,
I don't see him really winning an MVP in Portland, because the MVP is so built around team wise now and how the team does. It's not more of, it's more of a, like, how does a team perform with you in it? Not as much as an individual award. Over the years, it's changed. So if he wants a shot at the MVP and getting that legacy in the resume for the Hall of Fame, you know, because right now he has all he has in his resume right now is like all NBA teams and All-Stars, like All-Star selections. Obviously, he has Rookie of the Year. He won it, but the big ones to get in there are like, you need the MVP, you need that Finals MVP, you need that. Obviously, the ring does highly increase your chances of getting into the Hall of Fame. So I don't see him winning an MVP in Portland just because it's a like a team award now. Kind of, how does a team do? And with him in Portland, they're consistent. Sixth, seventh seed every year, and they're always out in the first round. Usually out. So if he goes to Philly, and he goes off with Embiid, obviously his assist rate's going to go up because he got Embiid to get the ball to. His points are going to go up. His point production is going to go up because he's going to be, if not second, the first scorer, then he's the second scorer behind Embiid, pick and rolls. And obviously that team's going to kind of fly in the standings now that you're adding Lillard into that. And the team is already good enough without Lillard right now, with just Embiid and how they're the solid, you know, Tyrese Maxey and Danny Green, Seth, you know, Andre Drummond now. They're all, like, that team is good enough. So you give him the Philly, then he can definitely produce an MVP in Philly easily, because it's a team award. And how does the team do with you in it? You know, if you're first in the East and you're leading the league in scoring, which he can do easily, then he's the automatic MVP right there. So he needs not only to leave for the chip, but he needs also to leave to build his resume.
I agree. Yeah, I with everything that you said, I agree. Because, you know, he has the game winners. You know, he has, like, the accolades, the clutch, the whole, you know, point totals, the big 50-point games, et cetera. You know, he has exciting games and all that. But just so that he leaves something behind, like, okay, he can say that, oh, I have two finals MVPs. I have two MVPs. You know, I won a ring, just to solidify everything that he's done. Because no one's taking away what he's done. It's just, you want to remember it, you know, with winning as well. So that's all. But there are some good storylines as well within the NBA. Other than Lillard, such as, you know, the Golden State Warriors. I know they did lose to the Hornets yesterday, but that win against the Chicago Bulls really showed me how good their defense is. I have watched a lot of Warriors games, but that game in particular, the way they kind of neutralized DeRozan and Alonzo was pretty impressive. It was pretty impressive.
Yeah, it's, you know, they're number one for a reason in the league, in offense and defense. Mm-hmm. Curry's just being Curry. Obviously, another MVP season so far. And they're doing all this without Klay, which is scary to think. Like, once they get Klay back and they get Wiseman back, then it's really like league's only got to watch out for the Warriors. But once they get Klay and Wiseman back, and Klay gets in the rhythm now with Curry, and they get that chemistry going with Draymond, then it's scary. Wiggins is playing phenomenal without Clay. But that team is something else. And obviously they're leading the West easily.
Yeah.
But I'm going to jump to the East side real quick and talk about life without Russell in Washington and how the Wizards are 9-3 with Kuzma and Beal and Dinwiddie. And it's just crazy that, you know, no one's really talking about Washington. You know, they're just under the radar and they're the best team in the East right now. Obviously, everyone talks about Chicago and Brooklyn and Philly and Milwaukee, you know. But they got to start talking about Washington here. I get there's not many big names in Washington, and Washington hasn't really done anything. You know, last time Washington was actually in talks was when they had John Wall and Beal, and that was that duo.
Yeah.
People really got to start talking about Washington more. They have a lot of solid good players. Obviously, they got a lot with the Westbrook trade. They got Kuzma, Pope, Harrell, and they brought in Dinwiddie free agency. Like, they have a solid team. And their rookies are starting to come up. So that's a team that's exciting to watch, but no one really wants to talk about Washington because it's the Wizards and they're just kind of irrelevant
in the past couple years. I'm not even gonna lie, I forgot that they were first in the Eastern Conference.
Yeah. They're a team that just is under the radar.
Yeah, their name is just not appealing, you know. The Washington Wizards, like,
yeah. No.
But no, I'm happy for Bradley Beal. He has some help. You know, he has guys that can score, that can do a lot of the scoring, you know, with Kuzma, with Dinwiddie, with Harrell off the bench. So it helps a lot. I don't know. They're a weird team in the sense of, like, they'll probably make the playoffs, but they're not really going to do much. But I will say the Eastern Conference is very competitive this year. So, like, it's kind of hard to say that, you know, them being first, and I think, where's Milwaukee? I know Milwaukee's going to make the playoffs, but aren't they, like, fourth or fifth?
Yeah, Milwaukee is struggling right now. I know they just lost again.
To Atlanta. Yeah.
Yeah.
So there's so many good teams in the Eastern Conference. So that's why I feel like the teams like, you know, Washington and who else? Indiana. Like, yeah, they're good, but, you know, when the time, when it really matters, we're not going to remember these teams. So, but kudos to them for, you know, playing their heart out every night and doing well. But I don't expect the Wizards to be first. If the Wizards are first going into the playoffs, then we can talk again. Then we can talk again.
Yeah, I don't think we're going to bring the conversation up again because I don't see him holding this position. Obviously, it's a great start of the season, 9-3, which is good. But now it's how will they hold this? Will they slide or will they fall? And that's going to determine if a team's great or not. Can they keep this streak going? Can they keep this record up? And, you know, the ratio of win and loss has to be greater. And I don't see it. I think later in the season, teams are going to get better. They can really click. They're going to, you know the scouting report on each team. So for the sake of basketball fans and a different realm, then yes, let's hope they keep it up. It'd be exciting to see, you know, someone else other than, you know, Milwaukee, Brooklyn, or Philly in the top. You know, Washington's been there a couple times. They've had obviously they've had 50 plus win seasons before, with John Wall, with Beal. But for the sake of, like, you know, just like adding that excitement to the basketball, let's, you know, I'll be praying from the to get first. It's kind of reminds me of Leicester in 2015 when they just came out of nowhere and won the league. So Washington, it's, I'm cheering for you to keep this up. Do I see it keeping up? No, but let's hope they do, because I want to, you know, I want to see Washington succeed. Obviously, I want to see Beal succeed. Mm-hmm. He's at a, you know, it's kind of the same thing. You talk with Beal with Lillard, you know, it's a time up for him to leave. He's in his prime right now. Obviously, he was second in scoring last year. So hopefully he keeps us up, because if he keeps us up right now and he plays unreal, then you're looking, Beal's looking as an MVP candidate easily. And I wouldn't be mad with him winning MVP. I just want to, this year with basketball playing with a new rule coming in and exciting, I want to see some different out of this world things occur. And obviously we're seeing that with Washington and the 9-3. No one else would expect that. So, as you know, hopefully they keep it up, because it just adds more to the surprise of the season.
Yeah, I agree. I think over the next few weeks, you know, the conferences of who the positions of teams in the conferences will start to form properly. You know, I know there's been a lot of injuries and stuff like that. So, but we're about what, like 12? Yeah, I think 11, 12 games in for most teams. So we'll see over the next, you know, couple weeks, once they're about 20, you know, 30 games in, how teams are playing, if they're improving, so that we get, you know, more storylines and more things kind of that we don't predict. Because right now it's looking like Curry, Ja Morant, KD should be in the conversation for MVP, I feel like.
Yeah, I know that they released the standings right now, like the ladder for MVP race. Obviously, it's not like on Bleacher Report, House Highlights, or NBA, but it's on, like, I think, sideline sources. It's a pretty trustful source for sports news. And right now they have, I think, KD's leading it, and Curry's second. And I don't think Morant's in the top five. I know Jokic is in there.
Mm.
Morant should be in the top five.
Easily.
But, yeah, I don't think – they have him even in the top 10 in the list.
Wow.
Obviously, it's different people writing this. That's opinions based. Yeah, Rene Rain. Oh, wait, he is top 10. Rene Rain, he's 9. They have him 9th. Their list goes Durant, Curry, Jokic, Paul George, DeRozan at 5, and then Butler, Giannis, Gobert, Miranda, and Embiid.
That's a pretty good list. I forgot about Paul George, actually, what he's doing for the Clippers.
Yeah, he's...
He's carrying them.
He is.
Because originally, yeah, I wrote them off. I said, you know, no Kawhi. I didn't expect them to do well. I know they lost, I think, their first three games. And then they went on that run. I think they won 6 games in a row. Paul George was carrying them through that. So he is playing very well. I saw a tweet. Someone was saying how Paul George for the last, he's quietly been, you know, a top 15 scorer in the league and a top 15 defender in the league, you know, throughout from the beginning of his career to now. And kind of no one really talks about it. Do you agree with that statement, or?
Oh, 100%. He's definitely one of the best two-way players in this league, and he doesn't get enough recognition. And the reason why he doesn't get enough recognition is because in people's eyes, he's that second superstar on the team. When he was in Indiana, it was just him. That's why people think, you know, Paul George, one of the best, because it was just him in Indiana. It was he had the guy with the ball. He had the guy with the defense. When you're at the OKC, it was, okay, he's Westbrook's Robin to Batman. Then when Kawhi brought him to Clippers, he was, you know, the Robin, and then Kawhi was Batman in that situation. So that's why he's not going to recognize enough, because he's behind these great players, but he's secretly putting up the same on numbers, sometimes even better, but he's not getting the recognition because it's, you know, it's Kawhi's team in LA. It was Russell's team in OKC. Now he's getting recognized because Kawhi ain't there. You know, he's the guy with the ball. He's the guy that's going to get the first scoring option. So that, you know, if he goes back to Indiana, Paul George, and has a team where he can easily provide for a team by himself. He's done it in Indiana. They took him to the playoffs. Mm-hmm. So that's why he's not recognized, because he's seen as the second guy on a superstar team.
Yeah, and the whole playoff P thing didn't help him out either.
No, it didn't.
Especially when, you know, I know he was battling a lot of injuries, but him saying that and the performances he had, I feel like it kind of ruined his career. That, you know, now people label him, yes, we know he can do it in the regular season, because he's done it for so many years. At every team, he's always been great in the regular season. And then, but once the playoffs starts with, especially with OKC and into the Clippers, you know, it hasn't been great. So we'll see this year, because I know Kawhi, they don't know if he's coming back this year. I think it's positive that he may, but because that injury is so serious, they're not sure. But we'll see. Because I know Paul George is a great player. It's just I need to see it in the playoffs too. So everything he's doing now, I'm not surprised by. But he does have to get his credit, because people were writing him off.
I don't know. Kawhi might even retire and just focus on rap. We don't know what he's going to do.
Yeah.
He has an album coming out. So is the injury serious? doesn't seem like it. This man is dropping an album with features with, you know, top artists. So
he has to enjoy his rehab some way.
Yeah. But we'll see. We'll see what happens with this. You know, NBA is, it's great. This is the best NBA I've seen in a while. You know, there's a lot of evenly teams. There's no standout team. There's a lot of surprises. So it's a fun time to watch NBA. But right now, I think the best team to watch on TV right now, sports-wise, is the World Cup qualifiers.
Yes.
Spain just punched a ticket. Serbia punched their ticket. Shocker over Portugal. Portugal's on the playoff to punch their ticket of the World Cup. You know, Germany already punched their ticket a long time ago. They were the first one to punch. But forget about the top teams. We're going to go to the CONCACAF and Canada. Mm-hmm. This is their year. Alphonso Davies is leading this team to the promised land, and he has help with Jonathan David. He has help with Larn. He has help with Buchanan. The team is really exciting to watch. That midfield to attack is they're young. I mean, I get their defense is a bit older and the keepers are old, but that attacking midfield and that attacking forwards, it's an exciting team to watch. Like, I can watch Canada all the time if I wanted to. And they have a fan base around it. You know, our fans are crazy. We were all over Costa Rica. It should have been more than 1-0.
Yeah.
Should have been at least 3-4-0. But you know, we're sitting third. We're 2 points above Panama. Mexico did draw points, which is good. Obviously, the States picked up points with a 2-0 win over Mexico. But our next couple of games, we should easily win. You know, we got Jamaica. We got, I think, Honduras one more time. So these are easy points. And I highly believe, you know, I see Canada punching their ticket to the World Cup.
Yeah.
Very seriously.
Yeah, for sure. I think especially being like a host country, right? If we weren't there, it'd be pretty sad. But yeah, I agree with you, you know, how we're playing, you know, it looks a lot more promising. We have, you know, we actually have like a kind of a style of play. We have players that could do it. I really like Jonathan David, Alfonso Davies, and I like Osorio off the bench. I think Osorio should have started.
I agree.
Yeah, but, you know, I guess he's still figuring out, you know, players he wants to play and stuff like that, which is fine. So the USA, they look very strong. Their squad looks, especially with Pulisic leading them. I know they're gonna make it for sure, but Canada, I'm really happy with how Canada's moving forward. But I do think we have to laugh at Portugal.
We
do have to. Like losing to Serbia. The main thing for me is Portugal should be a lot better than this. You know what I mean? Like they've won a lot of games, you know, a lot of friendlies. They won a lot of their qualifiers as well, but not beating Ireland and then losing to Serbia, like that's unacceptable by their standards, especially with them beating Serbia with Sanchez scoring in the second minute. Like I expected a lot better.
Yeah, I had, you know, Portugal flying to that group easily qualifying. I'm sure this will make it. You know, Ronaldo's Ronaldo. It wouldn't be a World Cup without Ronaldo in it. So I think he's going to turn gears here. He's going to get his troops back into action. And on paper, Portugal is a top team in the World Cup, obviously. You know, João Felix and Fernandes and Ronaldo and Semedo and Renato Sanchez and, you know, Silva and Bernardo Silva. Yeah. The team on paper is really, really good. So, yeah, it's – but at the same time, I'm not really shocked. You know, Portugal has a tendency of doing this a lot. But there's no way Ronaldo's missing on the World Cup. You know, it's potentially could be his last World Cup. So he's definitely got to be in there. And they'll win their playoff. They'll qualify. Obviously, as you said, the States will qualify. They're looking good. Pulisic is, as you said, leading that team. Mm-hmm. Weston McKennie's a great guy in the midfield. But if Canada doesn't make it this year, obviously they make it the next time. They automatically qualify the next time since the host. Host will automatically qualify for the World Cup. But I don't see him slipping points, and I don't see him missing out this year. This is their year. And once they make the World Cup, I see him having a 2016 Iceland Euro run.
Canada?
Canada. you know, obviously Iceland had a fantastic run of the Euros in 2016, you know, beating out England and top teams. But yeah, I have him that run. That's the underdog of the story. That's going to be the story of the World Cup in Qatar. is Canada shocking the world. And it's really going to highlight a lot of players. You know, I think David, obviously, he's the top scorer for Ligue 1 right now for Lille. And you're going to see a lot of Canadian players once they win the, you know, make the World Cup and shine. You're going to see a lot of them get picked up by big clubs. It happens all the time. So yeah, this is going to be a time for Canada. Now they're going to put the name on the spot. You know, Canada's going to be in, you know, a team not to really mess with anymore. And once you have a guy like Alphonso Davies and a young leader like him, it's scary. It's going to be scary for teams going against Canada. You know, we have that grit and determination. So, yeah, I'll put my name on right now. Canada, 2022 World Cup, they're going to get to the quarterfinals.
Whoa. Wow. That's big.
I have faith. I can see in how they play and their reactions. It's a team that's going to go out there for full 90 minutes, nonstop pressure. So I got him in the quarterfinals.
The quarterfinals. Wow. I mean, I think, I don't know. It's hard to say. I am optimistic that they will do well. Like, they will have a good showing. And like you said, teams will start picking up on the Canadian players. Like, I don't think Jonathan David's going to be at Lille for too much longer. He's too good. I could see him in the Premier League. I could see him in La Liga. I don't think he'll go to like a PSG or he looks like the type of guy who wants a challenge and kind of wants to show that he's, you know, that guy. So I could see him in the Premier League. I'd love to have him at Arsenal. That'd be great. That'd be amazing. That'd be really nice, actually, thinking about it.
add a youth in the striker and yourself. Mm-hmm. And we can probably get him for a lot cheaper than we get top players, you know?
Yeah.
His value won't be as high, and he's a great player. So I take him any day. We save money, and you get a young, promising talent.
Yeah. And also, I think after, you know, after Team C Canada play, you know, it'll invite more scouts over here as well. So kind of like growing the programs that we have here as well. I know the United States, a lot more scouts are going there just because, you know, they have the facilities and everything like that. But us hosting will help grow the game in Canada. And I think if we have a good showing, we'll kind of double up that factor as well.
Yeah, we'll be an exciting team to watch and for the next couple of years at the international stage. So I'm excited for the future of Canadian soccer. So, and as you said, it's definitely going to help out the programs in Canada and getting more recognized around here. So, you know, a lot of players, there's a lot of good talent in Canada that just doesn't get seen, you know, and that's why we lose a lot of our athletes to the States, because it's more opportunities there and more facilities, as you said, and more scouting. So this will definitely help us allow for more athletes to come here and build this country as a athletic country. So it's exciting.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, we are nearing the end of this week's episode. I know we usually end off with an ending question. I don't think we have one this week. At the top of your head, do you have anything?
I think if you had to play in one stadium, one football stadium, I'll say, or soccer to you weirdos, right?
Yeah.
which stadium would you play in and why? So not one game, like the rest of the rest of your football career, which stadium and why?
Emirates.
Why?
The legacy, the history, stepping in the pitch.
What history?
You know, stepping in the pitch for great legendary players have played on. And it's the atmosphere and the Arsenal fans bring every week to every game. Obviously, people are going to see Old Trafford. They're going to see Wembley. They're going to see the Bernabeu or, you know, Camp Nou or something. You know, they're going to say the old stadiums, obviously. But nothing beats the Emirates. Is it a bit biased? You're damn right it's a bit biased, but I don't care. That's just a stadium where I've watched beautiful football happen. I've watched cups, trophies be lifted. And I've watched idols of soccer just float across the pitch. So my answer is Emirates.
It's a good answer. It's a good answer. I'm actually going to say the San Siro. Actually, no, I'm taking that back. I think it'd have to be in England. It'd probably be Wembley. Just because I think the history of Highbury is what kind of made Arsenal, and I would love to play there. And I feel like the Emirates, obviously the atmosphere and everything like that, but our history at the Emirates doesn't compete with Highbury. So I feel like I'd have to go to a place where, you know, the bright lights, what Wembley means, I think I'd play there and kind of just, it embodies the best league of football. So I'd pick Wembley. I think it always have that cup final atmosphere. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's historical. You know, I might have to switch my. You know, I could see somewhere in Brantford pitch.
Oh no!
No.
Oh no! They don't even have
team two.
They don't even have mesh here, bro. Gymnasium, definitely not.
Yeah, gymnasium two. It's a pitch. All right, so Emirates, Wembley, can't go wrong with both, obviously. The more historical one is Wembley. Every big game, every big cup match is there. But yeah, you can't go wrong with both. Any pitch you can pick. Everyone's gonna have different reasons for each. So, as I said before, every episode is gonna let us know what pitch you want to play on. It doesn't even have to be soccer. It could be anything. You could NFL, NBA court, any stadium you choose, you let us know what stadium you'd like to play on.
Yes.
We obviously went soccer, but there's multiple stadiums in any sport, so you let us know, feedback. And that will conclude this week's episode, episode 7. Of the Swords Bible. I've been your co-host Jackson and other co-hosts.
Michael.
So we'll catch you next week, 2 p.m. on Tuesday. And take care, everyone. Take care.
Take care.